everybody. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm really excited to be able to share with you about the ways that God has called me to Germany and the ways that He's using me there. And my prayer for today is that as I share, if you feel like God is calling you to be in some way invested in this ministry through prayer, financial support, whatever it may be, that you respond to His call. So, to get started, I'm going to tell you how it is that I ended up in Germany. It was a Sunday, like any other Sunday. I was sitting in church, and it was my freshman year of college. And on this Sunday, the pastor started his sermon, and he was giving a sermon illustration of a child working in a sweatshop in a third world country. And on this particular day, the slave driver thought that the child was not working hard enough. So rather than reprimanding the child or speaking to the child, the slave driver took a whip and hit the child and left a huge gash on the child's face. And so this child couldn't stop working, and the slave driver didn't want him bleeding on the textiles, so the solution was to take a lighter and burn the wound shut. And when I heard that, I got so angry, and I was astounded that such an injustice still exists in our world. And I felt like God said to me in that moment, how do you know that the shirt you're wearing right now wasn't made by that child? And I knew that He was calling me to fight injustice, although I had no idea what that would look like. So as I went through college, I did a lot of research on what is labor trafficking, what is human trafficking, learned about sex trafficking. My senior year, I had the opportunity to do an internship with a ministry in Northeast Ohio that was working to fight human trafficking. And I loved it, and I felt like God was being very affirming and saying, yes, this is what I have for you, this is my will, however, you're supposed to do it overseas. And so I start dreaming about, okay, I'm going to end up in Africa or India or Thailand, you know, the big name places that you think of when you hear sex trafficking. And God had something else in mind. As I pursued the opportunity, He led me to Berlin, Germany, and that was about the last place I was expecting to end up. But now, in hindsight, I can see how it is that He was orchestrating that, because now that I'm there, I feel like I fit in so well there. I can relate really well to the people and the culture, and have the ability to be able to be that relational level, to be able to make an impact. And as I was also there, I started learning some of the statistics about Berlin and why it is that there is such a large need. Before I started into that, though, there was something I forgot to say. At the end of most of the pews, I didn't have quite enough, there's a response card. If you feel like God is calling you to something today, or you want to learn more, you can fill one of these out and hand it in to me in the coffee hour after church. And as extra incentive, if you fill one out and hand it in to me, I have a basket of chocolates that you can, of German chocolates that you can take one from. And then also, my number is on the screen. If you just want to send me a quick text with your name, then I'll follow up with you as well. Anyways, so some of the statistics about Berlin. It's a population of 3.5 million people, of which less than 2% are practicing Christians. So tangibly what that looks like is that most people in Berlin will go their entire life without meeting a believer, which is insane to think about, especially because there's so many churches on every other street corner, basically. But those churches now stand as a tourist attraction, or as like a museum. No one has the interest to go into them. They're not houses of God anymore because no one wants to attend. There's not enough people who are seeking out who God is. No one wants to know. Although this is a place that is just down the road from the Reformation that happened 500 years ago, people have completely lost touch of God. One pastor in Germany put it really well, and I think it sums it up great, that the people have forgotten that they've forgotten about God. That's how far removed He is at this point. And what does rule above all else, because it is now this post-Christian society, is tolerance. Tolerance is what people look to as their ruler. It's what the new religion of sorts is. And they've gone as far as to tolerate legalized prostitution and brothels. It was in 2002 that Germany legalized it, and since then it has grown into a $17.5 billion industry. And that's money that the government is making off of. And in Berlin, there are over 600 legal brothels, which is far more than the number of churches that exist. And to the largest brothel that exists there, it's one of the most frequented taxi routes from the airport to that brothel. This is a huge issue in the city, but people turn a blind eye to it. In fact, the United Nations Office on Drug and Crime rates Germany as a top destination for human trafficking. And that's because it is this first world country that has legalized prostitution, so people are coming from all around the globe to come here and participate in the sex culture. And if there's an increase in demand, it means an increase in supply, which means that people are taking and bringing women from other parts of the world into the country illegally in order to participate and be the sex culture that exists there. So these statistics are mind-blowing. They're things that you'll never hear on the news, but they exist and they're real. And to hear them and then start to hear the stories, that's when it really makes an impact. And one of the women that I've had the privilege to get to know and that is very near and dear to my heart, I refer to her as Jay. And Jay's story is very similar to a lot of the other women who I've encountered that there. I've met hundreds of women that are working on the streets, and her story just has so many key elements. So Jay grew up in Poland, and she grew up in a family that was abusive. Her father was never around, pretty much non-existent. Her mother was very abusive and even tried to kill her a couple times. And so by the time that Jay was a teenager, she was looking for love anywhere else and found it in a man. She ended up getting pregnant, but by the time she realized she was pregnant with this man's child, she realized that he was also abusive. So she left him and figured, I need to be able to provide for my family somehow, for me and my baby. But I don't have a high school education. I can't get a job. The only thing I can do is turn to prostitution. And prostitution in Poland is illegal. So once her neighbors found out that that's what she was doing, they called the cops, and the cops came and took her child. No questions asked. And she said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. The only thing I can do is prostitution, and so I'm at least going to go where it's legal, and that's going to be what I'm going to do. So she packed a bag and moved to Berlin and found her way to a brothel and started working there. And after 2 months, found out that the owner of the brothel was taking advantage of her and paying her nothing. And so she left that and turned to the street. But she had no family, no community, no home. So all she would do is she would live with customers for a short amount of time in search of stability, and even more so, in search of someone to love her. So it was on her 22nd birthday that she came to the drop-in center, and that happened to also be my first day working at the drop-in center. And this was in my first couple months of being in Berlin, so my German was very, very, very poor. And as I'm trying to speak to her in my broken German, she just goes, would English be better? Yes, please. So that's how our whole relationship started, was her pity for me not being able to speak German and her ability to be able to speak English. So we had little conversations. I asked her about her life. She told me bits and pieces, but she wasn't too keen on becoming friends because she had learned that people would leave her life just as quickly as they would enter. So over the next couple months, I would talk to her and just try to learn her story. But she would do anything she could to try and push my buttons. She knew I was a Christian, so at one point she said to me, I don't believe in God, and anyone who does is stupid. I'm like, okay, well, why do you think that? And that's all I would do, is I would just ask her those questions, be a reflective listener, listen to what she had to say, and then ask for a response. And through that, our relationship grew. And then a couple months in, I was sitting in the drop-in center praying that she would come in that day. Halfway through the shift, she did. So I grabbed a cup of coffee and went and sat next to her and just asked her, like, hey, after we close up today and clean up, do you want to go get lunch with me? And that was the moment where her walls started to fall down. That was the moment where she realized, this girl I've been trying to push away legitimately wants a relationship with me. And so she let me in. She started sharing more intimate details about her life, sharing what she actually desired for her life, what her dreams were. And it was amazing. And so now it's 3 years later, and her life looks so different. She is not completely out of sex work yet, but she's not working on the streets, and she's not working in brothels. And in fact, when I was talking to her the other day, she even said that she met with one of the women that she used to work with, and that in talking to her, she started to realize, I've come really far. I used to be like her, and now I'm so different. And I was like, yes, you are, and I'm so proud of you for all of the changes you've made. So it's amazing just to see the ways that she's starting to transform her own life. She's not working on the streets. She has the desire to get her GED and to go to university so that way she can study photography and journalism and start exposing the realities of this issue. And what's even more amazing is that now she actually says that there's a God and she believes in him. She's not 100% sure what that looks like for her life because she's experienced so much trauma, but she's starting to figure it out and she's inviting him in to work in her life, and it's amazing. So it's because of women like Jay that I desire to go back to Berlin, that I desire to continue working with my team there. I'm with the organization Reach Global, and we're a team of about 30 people working in the city in all different fields. There are people who are working in church planting, in youth ministry, in sports and arts ministry, all across, and our whole goal is that we are reaching all people of the city in order to see the multiplication of the church. And the way that we do ministry is through partnership. We partner alongside of German ministries to help them reach a maximum capacity for the ministry that they can do, help them run more effectively and efficiently. And our whole goal is that we're working ourselves out of a job. As we're helping them reach a new level, we're training another German to come in and take our place because a German's going to have much more impact than I could ever have as an American. So my specific role, though, is working in anti-human trafficking. And what that has looked like for the last 3 years, because I've been in Germany for 3 years, is I was working alongside of two German ministries, a drop-in center and a safe house. At the drop-in center, our whole goal is to meet with women. If the center exists right on the street where the most prostitution happens in Berlin. So we are in the center, and we offer free coffee and food to the women and invite them in to build relationship. That's our whole goal, is building relationship, being that first connection point, letting them know that they are loved and they are valuable and we are there to help them and we love them with the love of Christ. And that, you know, we can do whatever to help them, whether that's helping them schedule a doctor's appointment, taking them to the doctor, translating any important documents that they get from the government, whatever it may be. So that's the goal of the drop-in center. And then if a woman says, as she builds that trust with us, she's able to say, hey, I never wanted this. I always wanted to be a school teacher. Then we can say, okay, let's figure out how we can get you on that path. And we walk that with her. The other place where I was working is a safe house. It's a house for women who have gotten out of trafficking and prostitution. It's a house where they live. And as they live there, they're required to attend a day school that's run by the staff. And the day school is specifically geared towards helping these women learn very tangible skills as well as skills of healing. So that's things like learning how to set and manage a budget and how to set goals, as well as what is self-esteem? How do I build my self-esteem? What does it look like to be a good parent? And if I'm not a parent, what did my parents do that I can learn from, either bad or good? And helping them get these tools, that way when they reintegrate back into society, they have these tools to be able to deal with the hardships that they come across that could set them back into a relapse or trigger them into a point of mania. So this is the whole goal. And in returning to Berlin, I will continue to work alongside of these two ministries, but my role is also going to expand. I will be working alongside of churches and alongside of those in the world of anti-trafficking and helping build bridges to bridge these two worlds, because right now the two exist very autonomously from one another in Berlin. And so what that may tangibly look like is that that means speaking with churches and being involved in churches, helping churches to realize that they need to take their place in the fight against human trafficking, that they need to be involved in prevention, intervention, and aftercare in order for anything to ever change. And so what that would look like is that for prevention, it means that churches are going in and talking to their congregations, specifically targeting the young adults, and saying, pornography is wrong, and it's hard, and it creates this lust and desire in your heart that then, in turn, culture says, yeah, go sleep with a woman, a prostitute, totally fine, totally normal. But you know in your own heart that that's not okay, and that that'll never fill the void that you're feeling right now. Only God can do that. Being able to have those conversations, which then leads to the intervention piece, that if a woman actually gets the courage to come into a church from off the street, because all her life she's been told that she's dirty, she's less than, she's not worthy. If she gets the courage to step into a church and she's met by a culture of people who say, you know what? We love you. We accept you just as you are. You have sin. I have sin. They look different, but we walk this road together. If she's met by that culture, that's going to lead to the long-term aftercare. Because so many of the women that we found that were at the safe house, after a couple of months of being there, it was, I missed the street. I had friends there. I had community. There were people around me. And they'd start to idealize it. And so if we can get them plugged into a different community, and there's no better community than the body of Christ, if we can get them plugged into that community where there's people around them, surrounding them, pouring love and investing in them, that if they hit a point where they start to relapse, where they want to fall away, then that's the people who are there to say, hey, how can we help you? What can we do? What do you need right now? And that's the body of Christ working together. So that's the really big vision. It's something I'm really excited to be able to go back to Berlin and start doing to equip others to be involved in this fight. But in order to do that, I need your help. So I'm in a process of transition currently. I was short-term staff with my organization, and I'm transitioning to long-term staff. And that means that there is an increased budget in order to meet the needs to be able to sustain ministry for the next foreseeable future. So I will be moving to Berlin permanently, but that takes the support of many people in order for this to happen. And I would like to extend an opportunity to you guys to be involved in the work that God is doing in Berlin. And I would like to invite you to do that through your prayer support. If you spend just a couple minutes each day or each week lifting this ministry up, if you want to be on my personal prayer team where I'm sending you updates about what's going on, what's hard, what's good, ways to praise God, ways to fervently pray for release of this sin from so many women, that's another way you can be involved. And I'd like to also extend the opportunity to you to invest your resource. So prayer is definitely a time resource, but also any financial resource that you feel like you have, whether that be through a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support, both are needed in order for this ministry to happen. So I'd like to thank you again for allowing me to speak. If there's anything that you want to know more about, my number's up there. Please feel free to fill out one of these response cards. I also have prayer cards with me that you can come and pick up. And it's got my contact information on the back through email, and then something you can just hang up as a reminder to pray for the women of Germany, for the workers in Germany. Berlin is a very spiritually dark city. I have never experienced spiritual warfare as intense as I did there. And knowing that there are people across the ocean who care about this work and care about me and care enough to pray, that's what got me through a lot of those times. That, of course, Jesus. So I thank you so much for allowing me to speak. And I'll be at the coffee hour after church if anyone would like to ask any questions.